Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's. This morning, a number of people have said, "Hey, Pastor, I love the blue." And so do I. I think the sanctuary is absolutely beautiful. So thank you to those of you who had a hand in changing it out. And it's not just beautiful, it's also a teaching tool. It reminds us that we are in a brand new church year, a brand new season of the church year. We are in the season of Advent, where yes, we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas in the proper way, but more so, we prepare our hearts for that great day when Jesus is going to come to take us back to be with him forever. So in our sermon this morning, we will see why Advent gives us an advantage and how the Holy Spirit's job is to make sure we know it, and Jesus' job is to make sure that we have it. So I look forward to sharing the Advent advantage with you as we wait for that great day for Jesus to come back. To further bless us in our Advent preparations, we're going to use the Advent gathering rite. We have used this in the past, and I'm sure once we get into it, it'll sound familiar to you. If not, just give it a little bit, and then next week you can come, and it will sound familiar to you. That begins in the very front of the worship booklet on page 3. So the congregation will sing the refrain, and then I'll sing the verses, and we'll follow that theme throughout the opening of worship this morning. May Jesus bless us in our Advent worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray,
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength, and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first lesson for this morning is recorded in Isaiah chapter 2. In this promise, the Lord reminds His people that He will not forget them, that He will deliver them, that He will restore them to the promised land. But it's more than that. He also promises you and me that we are His children, that we are sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And through this lesson, the prophet encourages us to live like we are the light of the world. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. As the highest of the mountains, it will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, so that we may walk in His paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 18 on page 6 in the worship booklet. We'll sing the psalm responsively by the whole verse.
Thank you.
Second lesson is recorded in Romans chapter 13. We'll take the theme of the sermon from this lesson this morning. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is the word of the Lord. We light one Advent candle, remembering Jesus, who is coming again. He will come to gather his people from everywhere, both the living and the dead.
We remember Jesus, who will come at the end of time. None of us know what day that will be.
We hear his call to watch.
We light one Advent candle as a sign of our watchfulness and waiting.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest.
Through your word and spirit, may our souls be blessed.
For the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 24. We hear our Savior's encouragement to us for our Advent preparations. His encouragement is this: to keep watch, because he is coming back. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, we'll have the children's sermon, so I invite those who will be participating to come up. And again, if you would like to escort your child up, please feel free to do so. Right front row seat. Good morning.
Good morning.
you? Do you know how to play this game?
Yes.
What game is this?
Hot potato.
Yes, it is hot potato. And we're going to fire it up, and then we're going to play a little hot potato. Ready? Ready? Here we go. Oh. Or we're going to do a hot potato wrap. Let's try this again. All right. That's not how you play hot potato? Why do you have to pass it around?
Because it's hot. Because it's really, really hot.
And?
It's burning.
Yes, and what don't you want to have happen?
Your head don't
fire. Huh? Yes, how do you lose the game though? Yeah, what happens then? Why don't you want the hot potato at the end? You lose. If you have the potato when the sound goes off or when the song's done playing, then you lose the game hot potato. And is that a big deal if you lose the game hot potato?
No.
No, but still, don't you want to win the game of hot potato?
Yeah.
Yes, and so the point is you're ready. You're ready, you're watching, so you're going to say, okay, who's going to throw a hot potato to me? And then who are you going to throw it to next? And then who is the sound going to stop on? And then who's going to be the loser? And it's okay if you lose in the game, not a big deal. Jesus just got done telling us in the gospel for today that he wants us to be ready. He doesn't want us to be sleeping. He doesn't want us to be holding the potato because not a big deal. He says he is coming back and he wants us to wait for him every day. And when we do things like, I don't remember Jesus' word, or I don't want to go to church, or when we're being disrespectful at home, are we being ready for Jesus to come back?
No.
No, of course we're not. Because when we are doing those things and we're not hearing God's word and we're not living like the children of God we are, our faith gets weaker and weaker and weaker. And the devil would like nothing more than to come and snatch your faith away from you so that when Jesus comes back, you're not ready and you're going to be the loser and then you don't get to go home to heaven. You know, Jesus doesn't say that to scare us today because are you children of God? Yes, we are children of God because Jesus loves us and the Holy Spirit washes all of our sins away. So Jesus says, keep watch. How do you think you can keep your faith strong? Jerk. Yes, reading the Bible keeps your faith strong. How else can you keep your faith strong?
To always be ready.
Yeah, how are you always ready? By making good choices or bad choices?
Good choices.
By making good choices, because then we are exercising our faith and keeping our faith strong. So when we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith, and when we think about things Jesus wants us to think, then our faith stays good and strong. And then we're going to be ready for Jesus to come back. And then Judgment Day will be a good day. So during the season of Lent and today, you're going to hear all about watch and be ready and be prepared. And you already are, because you're children of God. And we want to keep our faith strong by hearing his word. So as we make our Advent preparations, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have made us ready for the day that you will come back. You've washed our sins away in baptism. You've taught us about your son through your word. Help us to love you and to live for you. And if we do make mistakes, we do things that are not right, help us to say we're sorry and then trust that we're forgiven so that our faith can stay strong. Help us always to watch for you and the day you come back. Amen. Did a great job today. Thank you very much for coming up. You can go back, take your seats. It's a fun game. We continue our worship with our next hymn, hymn number 12, a hymn that helps us anticipate the great day when Jesus comes back. Hymn number 12.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, dear fellow children of the light, through him who is the light, your Savior, Christ Jesus. So wake up, dress up, save the date. Does that just terrify you? Does that stress you out? To know that you have to have one more thing on your calendar? To know that you have to set your alarm for one more event? And then you're going to have to stare into your closet looking for just the right thing to wear? Or maybe you're the kind of person who eats that up. Maybe you love being busy. You love a full calendar. You have no problem hopping out of bed in the morning, and you like nothing better than the night before to stare at your closet and pick out just the right outfit for just the right event, and then you like to iron it, and then you have it laid out next to your bed so that when you hop up in the morning, it's right there, and you're all set, and you can't wait to go hit the road. My guess is most of us are kind of somewhere in the middle, and depending on what the event is, it's easier to get up for than other events. It's probably a little more fun to get ready for than other events, and you'd probably clear some things off your calendar to make room for another one. This morning, Jesus is telling us to be prepared for an event. He tells us to wake up, to dress up, and to save the date, because he is coming back. Paul reminded us that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. And that's the event that he wants us to be ready for, that he wants us to wake up for. And we're not so much talking about salvation as the day that you came to know who Jesus was, or the days that you were saved when the waters of holy baptism were poured over your head. The salvation that we're talking about today is the day when Jesus comes back and we get to see it. We get to realize it. We get to participate firsthand in salvation, literally, physically coming to the world. Because the first has already happened, hasn't it? God has already made you his child. Peter wrote, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." That's already happened through the gospel. You are already a child of light. Salvation has already come to you. Today's encouragement: anticipate that day when you are going to realize it when Jesus comes back. Jesus told us in the gospel for today just how important it is for us to keep watch. He said, "Keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." You would have stopped the thief, right? If you knew he was coming, you would have been there. Maybe you would have had the police there. You would have taken some precautions, but you don't. And so you take those precautions every day. You make choices like where you live, how you live, lock your doors, lights on timers. Some of you put in security systems because you want to be prepared, because you don't know when he's coming back. Jesus has given us the tools to be spiritually prepared, to take full advantage of his Advent promises, to gain the full Advent advantage. God told us through St. Paul, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Without it, without the Holy Spirit, we are horribly unprepared, aren't we? You stop and think of some of those pictures that Jesus uses in the Bible and what they would be for us if we did not have the Holy Spirit already working in our hearts through his word and through the sacraments. He says things like, don't run out of oil while you wait. Well, we wouldn't even have oil in the first place without the Holy Spirit. He says, don't sleep on the job. Don't let the boss find you sleeping when he comes back. We wouldn't have the energy to be awake and to wait if it were not for the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't come into the banquet unprepared. You better be dressed up for the banquet or you're not getting in. And hasn't God already clothed us with Christ's righteousness? We are awake. We are dressed up. We already have the date on our calendars. The problem is, we like to take little spiritual naps, don't we? And we like to go back to sleep. The problem is, we like to play spiritual dress-up, where we get all dressed up like we are not children of the light, and then we go out and live like we are not the children of the light. The problem is, we are not always mindful of the fact that Jesus could come back at any minute. We have the heads up. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Can you have that confidence? Do you have that Advent advantage when you're sleeping? Or when you're not dressed up? Or when you're out goofing off? Or as we were talking about with the kids, when you're not doing things that Jesus says to be doing and you're doing things he says not to be doing? Don't lose your Advent advantage. Here's what it looks like when we do. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. You know, deeds of darkness are done at night. Why? Because you don't want to see anybody. You don't want to see anybody doing them, and you don't want anybody to see you doing them. When you do the deeds of the darkness, do you wear this? You know, do I wear this? No, how come? Because I don't want anyone seeing me. And children of the light, children of God, don't do those things. And so we try to hide them as if we can hide them from God. Why? Because we know we shouldn't be doing them. We know that they hurt us. We know that we're going to lose our Advent advantage. We know that Satan can't wait to pick us off. Be alert and sober mind so your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to desire. Paul says, don't do that. He says, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And part of us is always going to say, but I like to. Because it's fun. And then we think that as long as we're not wearing this out in public, and as long as nobody sees us doing it, and as long as no big consequence comes down on me, everything is okay. And you know how goofy that kind of mindset is? And I do it too. I'm not calling you goofy. I'm just saying, do you know how goofy it is when we think this way? Some of the kids, if you were here for the wildlife exhibit, do you remember the black-throated monitor? You know, the lizard that was about this big? And when the worker brought her out, she was really afraid. And then as soon as she crawled back into the big box, you remember what she did? She stuck her head into a box because the lizard thought, as long as nobody can see me, well, then I'm safe. You know, that's like a little kid who does this when they're doing something wrong. You know, when it says, if I can't see you, you can't see me. And so I am not going to get in trouble for what I'm doing because I'm hiding. As if you and I can hide in the darkness. As if just because nobody ever finds out what we do, our Advent preparations are solid. As if we're not walking around in this, Jesus isn't going to see what we're doing and we're not going to hurt our relationship with him. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You know, it stinks to lose any advantage, doesn't it? You know, we're getting into college football playoff time, and I know some of you could care less, but you know how hard it is to win if your players are hurt? Or you know how hard it would be if these guys would go out and party the night before the game? Or if they would slack off in their preparation for the next game? They're going to lose. Why? Because they gave up their advantage. And it's one thing to lose, it's another thing to lose because you made bad choices and you weren't ready. Don't lose the Advent advantage your Savior Jesus has already won for you. The writer to the Romans reminds you to wake up, to dress up, and to keep the date on your calendar. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Okay, Paul, so how are we going to do that? Well, you know what? It's not your job. And the writer to the Romans says the same thing. It's not your job. It's God's job to make those preparations. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. God clothes you through baptism. It's his job to do that. No one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to work faith in your heart so that you wake up, so that you, when you're making bad choices. It's His job to work that in you. It's our job to fully take advantage of what He's done for us. And the date is every day. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, I've never tried it, but I would imagine wearing armor isn't very comfortable, but it serves a good purpose. One morning before school, I was commiserating with one of the parents right after drop-off because I had full suit on and I had my uncomfortable, nice dress shoes on. And we both agreed, sometimes you make those sacrifices. There's some things you do because you have to look the part. We do certain things so that we just look professional, even if it's not uncomfortable. Is wearing Jesus uncomfortable? Not at all. Wearing Jesus means that we are a child of God. Our sins have been washed away. Wearing Jesus means we get to glorify God in everything we do. Wearing Jesus means we get to live like the children of light that we are. Not everybody gets to do that, but you and I do. We get to live like the children of God. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Do you know why those things feel good? And why those things are easy to pursue? And why we buy into the lie that it's much better to wear those than to wear the armor of light? Because the gratification is like that, isn't it? And Satan tells you that it's so worth it. And there's part of you that says it is so worth it. And you probably have friends that say, it is so worth it. But then what when it's done? What are you left with? You're left with guilt. And guilt stinks. Guilt is no good. And so instead, God says, live like the children of light that you are. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So live like the children of light you are. Don't be afraid to go and tell God what you've done. One, because He knows. Two, because you have a Savior God who has made your Advent preparations for you. You have a Savior God who never fell asleep. You have a Savior God who never spent any time in the darkness. And that's the perfect life that He offers up to God the Father for you. You have a perfect Savior God who died to pay for all of your sins. All of your trips into the darkness, any time that you played spiritual dress-up, living like a child of darkness, which you are not, Jesus died for those sins. You are a child of God. So wear the armor of light that God has prepared for you, that God has dressed you up in. Use the Word of God. The kids told you, right? Use the Word of God as the most annoying spiritual alarm clock you have, so that it goes off the second that you even think about walking in the darkness. That you even think about gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, which I have too. Use the Word of God, and He'll set it off, and He'll forgive you, and He'll strengthen you to do better next time. Keep dressing yourself up over and over again in the righteousness that Jesus won for you. Then you won't have guilt. You'll have the confidence of knowing that I am dressed for the last day. Because the date is on your calendar, isn't it? Even though you can't point to it, even though you haven't set a specific alarm for it, it's going to go off someday and it's going to come. And you are going to be ready. But that date has also been set for your friends and family who are not ready. Those who are walking in spiritual darkness right now, even though they know they shouldn't be. Your friends who maybe have never heard about the light of Jesus or they've never had it explained to them. You get to wake them up. You get to dress them up. You get to get them ready for the day too. So that when Jesus comes back, you all get to go home to heaven together. Keep your Advent advantage. And with Isaiah, come descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. May Jesus bless you in your Advent advantage. Amen. Please stand. Let us witness our faith together, to share our faith with the world, and also to strengthen and encourage one another. We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as we collect our offerings. Our worship continues with our next song to encourage us in our Advent preparations. It's hymn number 8. Our worship continues with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Come, dear Savior, we long for your appearing. Come to cheer us with your promises, as you once cheered your ancient people through their long night of waiting and watching. Come to restore our hope, rouse us from the slumber of despair, lift our hearts from petty, earthbound goals, and direct our eyes above, from where you will soon come to make all things right again. Come and work in us a godly grief and genuine sorrow over our sin. Forgive us for the shameful way we have dishonored you and the shabby way we have dealt with one another. Through your mighty word, stir up in us a ceaseless yearning to give ourselves to others as you have given yourself to us. Come also to rekindle our joy as we prepare to celebrate your first coming. Do not permit a frenzied busyness to rob us of your peace or to deprive us of times to ponder and to wonder at your word. Set our hearts apart from the bustle and the clamor and the jostle of these days. Fill us with the quiet delight of finding you in the manger, and keep our hearts and minds undisturbed by the great throng that streams by uncaring. We pray also for those enduring great sorrow, for those undergoing spiritual trial, and for those whose restless hearts have no knowledge of your coming. Comfort, strengthen, and illumine them with the sweet peace born of your love, and keep them in the way of peace by your holy word. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send that peace that only comes from you to the family of Roger Otto, Bonnie Ball's brother. We thank you that you have called Roger from this world, but we are also mindful of the sorrow that that brings. So may Bonnie and her family find peace, peace in knowing that one day you are going to come, one day they will be reunited with Roger and all your saints forever in glory. We also ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you would take care of Gary Verthine's sister, Jackie. We ask that if it is your will, you would relieve her from her vertigo and her back pain. We ask that you would comfort her spiritually and remind her that a time is coming when you will take us all from this world of hurt and sorrow. Until then, we ask that you bless her treatments. We ask that you would restore her to health, and if it is your will, to relieve her pain. Also, dear Heavenly Father, we continue to marvel at your gifts to your church. We praise and thank you for all of your glorious gifts. This morning, we thank you for our secretarial help, our administrative professionals, Mrs. Taylor and Mrs. Webb. We thank you for their service to us, the way that they keep things running smoothly for us, so that we might be about your business, training up our children and reaching out and gathering around your word. So we would ask that you would bless them, especially in the busy times of Christmas ahead, with strength and energy to do their job, not just so work gets done, but so that they can worship and glorify you. We thank you for their help and for their service to us and to you. Come quickly, dear Lord Jesus, and fill our longing eyes with the light of your coming. We wait, we keep watch, and in you we put our hope. Amen. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace through your word. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. And note, we will sing stanzas 1, 5, and 6 of the closing hymn as posted on the hymn board.
Thank you.
Good morning again, and may the peace of walking in the light of your Savior Jesus, go with you into the week ahead. I had a chance to greet our worship guests on the way in. Again, we're pleased to have you in God's house, and I look forward to sharing more of St. Mark's with you in the future. And for family who are in town just for a little bit, may Jesus give you a safe trip back home. I have been asked to highlight a number of the announcements that are printed in the weekly news, so please take one of these and read through all of the announcements, as there's lots going on. First, a reminder that we have the opportunity to host the River City Chorale. They will be singing their Christmas concert here next Sunday. That's December 4th at 4 p.m. And there are four of our own St. Mark's members in the concert. If you haven't been to one, it just makes you happy to see them sing and makes you happy to think about Christmas and the blessings that we enjoy around Christmas time. So please consider this. Hear a wonderful variety of Christmas music, exciting new songs, as well as some beloved favorites. Tickets are available from Marty Peterson, and she's here at this service, or they can be purchased at the door. So December 4th at 4 p.m. here at St. Mark's, the River City Concert. Also, Advent by Candlelight is this evening. The time is in the weekly announcement. Even if you did not sign up, they can still squeeze you in because they are kind and gracious, and they would love to share the comfort of Jesus with you and with your friends. So maybe grab a friend, even if you haven't signed up, and take in Advent by Candlelight. They've made preparations for more. Midweek worship, the Wednesdays in Advent, please see the schedule in the weekly news. The time for the fellowship dinners is 5:30, and then worship starts at 7 o'clock, so plenty of time to enjoy each other's company. And we're going to rotate again with Pastor David Waterstrat and with Pastor John Loescher one more time before Pastor Loescher moves to Wisconsin. So it'll be a neat time this Advent season. So take in Advent worship. Also, reminder that we are going to have a voters meeting on Sunday the 11th. And I made myself a note, and I don't know what it says. So we are going to miss out on something important. Maybe it'll come to me. We'll wrap up the announcements by taking a look at the school update that Mr. Bauer has put together. So, Mr. Williamson, if you would please play the school update for us.
While we're waiting for that to fire up, I consulted our administrative professional. Your commitment packets are available in the back. If you haven't picked them up yet, please do so today. If you made an online commitment, you're not going to get a hard copy. It's already been recorded. And then when you fill out the envelope, you can either drop it in the church office, you can mail it in, or we'll have a box back in the lobby for you to put your commitments in. And again, it's a big help for the coordinating council to plan the budget. So the commitment materials are available for you.